to blessed hope. My Bible Presbyterian Church, let us prepare our hearts to worship the Lord by singing, "The Lord is in His holy temple." To worship is taken from Psalm 111, verses 1 to 3. Praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart, in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. The works of the Lord are great, sought out of all them that have pleasure therein. His work is honorable and glorious, and his righteousness endureth forever. Let us arise for the opening hymn. The hymn is number 60, "Ye Servants of God, Your Master Proclaim." In prayer. Our Father in heaven, how glorious and majestic art thou in thy person. Thou ruler on high, and art almighty to save us. Yet though thou art all powerful, thou draweth nigh to us, that we may draw nigh to thee. Thou hast come into our presence this afternoon, that we may know thee, rejoice in thee, and love thee more. Thou hast come close to us in the person of thy Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who has bought and purchased us through his own blood, that we may escape from the wrath to come and enjoy sweet communion with thee in paradise. If that be the case, O Lord, we adore thee and give thee thy right. May all glory, power, wisdom, might, honor, blessing be unto thee. And may our hearts always rejoice with thanksgiving and infinite love for all that thou hast done for us. Now, as thy people, as we gather in this congregation, would thou quieten our hearts, take away all distractions from our minds and hearts, that we may focus upon thee and thy word, that we may focus on delighting and rejoicing in who thou art unto us. Help us, O Lord, for thy own honor and glory. This we ask and pray with thanksgiving in the name of Jesus Christ, who, while he was on earth, taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be.
Congregation, please be seated. Our scripture text for today is taken from Exodus chapter 30. Let us turn our Bibles to Exodus chapter 30, and we'll be looking from verses 1 to 10, and then from verses 34 to 38. I shall begin with the odd verses. Please respond with the even. Exodus chapter 30, verse 1. And thou shalt make an altar to burn incense upon. Of shittim wood shalt thou make it. A cubit shall be the length thereof, and a cubit the breadth thereof. Four square shall it be, and two cubits shall be the height thereof. The horns thereof shall be of the same. And thou shalt overlay it with pure gold, the top thereof, and the sides thereof round about, and the horns thereof. And thou shalt make unto it a crown of gold round about. And two golden rings shalt thou make to it under the crown of it, by the two corners thereof, upon the two sides of it shalt thou make it, and they shall be for places for the stave to bear it withal. And thou shalt make the staffs of shittim wood, and overlay them with gold. And thou shalt put it before the veil that is by the ark of the testimony, before the mercy seat that is over the testimony, where I will meet with thee. And Aaron shall burn thereon sweet incense every morning. When he dresseth the lamps, he shall burn incense upon it. And when Aaron lighteth the lamps at even, he shall burn incense upon it, a perpetual incense before the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall offer no strange incense thereon, nor burnt sacrifice, nor meat offering, neither shall ye pour drink offering thereon. And Aaron shall make an atonement upon the horns of it once in a year with the blood of the sin offering of atonements. Once in the year shall he make atonement upon it throughout your generations. It is most holy unto the Lord. Verse 34. And the Lord said unto Moses, take unto thee sweet spices, steak and onycha and galbanum, these sweet spices with pure frankincense of each shall there be a like weight. And thou shalt make it a perfume, a confection after the art of the apothecary, tempered together, pure and holy. And thou shalt beat some of it very small, and put of it before the testimony in the tabernacle of the congregation, where I will meet with thee. It shall be unto you most holy. And as for the perfume which thou shalt make, ye shall not make to yourselves according to the composition thereof. It shall be unto thee holy for the Lord. Verse 38 in unison. Whosoever shall make like unto that to smell thereto shall even be cut off from his people. Thank God for the reading of his holy word. We shall now sing another hymn seated, number 364. 364, 'tis the blessed hour of prayer.
A blessed hour of prayer, when our hearts smoothly bend, and we gather to Jesus, our Savior and friend. If we come to him in faith, his protection to share, what above weary. Oh, how sweet to be there. Blessed of prayer, blessed of prayer, what about food and weary. Oh, how sweet to be there. Tis the blessed hour of prayer, when the Savior draws near, with a tender compassion, his children to hear. When he tells us we may cast at his feet every care, what about fault are weary? Oh, how sweet to be there. Blessed our friend, blessed our friend, what about fault are weary? Oh, how to be there. 'Tis the blessed hour of prayer, when the tempted and tried to the Savior who loves them, their sorrow confide. With a sympathizing heart, He removes every care. What about for the weary? Oh, how sweet to be there. Blessed of prayer, blessed of prayer, what about for the weary? Oh, how sweet to be there. And the blessed hour of prayer, trusting Him we believe, that the blessings we're needing we'll surely receive. In the fullness of this trust, we shall lose every care. What about for the weary? Oh, how sweet to be there. Blessed hour of prayer, blessed hour of prayer, what about for the weary? Oh, how sweet to be there.
Amen. Let us now look at our order of worship on page 3. And we shall be looking at the memory verse taken from Revelation chapter 8, verse 3. Revelation chapter 8, verse 3. If everyone is there, let us read this verse together. Revelation chapter 8, verse 3. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. Revelation chapter 8, verse 3. Let us take some time to consider this verse, where we find the purpose of the golden altar, which is to offer up the prayers of the saints. Shall we try together? It's slightly difficult, but let us try. Revelation chapter 8, verse 3. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. Revelation chapter 8, verse 3. That was slightly difficult, but let us keep this verse in our minds as Pastor will explain it more in depth later on. Let us now prepare our tithe and offering. The offertory hymn is number 369, Near to the Heart of God. For the doxology, praise God from whom all blessings flow.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures. Praise Him. Heavenly host, whose Father, Son, Holy Ghost.
and joyous place of rest we have near to thy heart. True Jesus, the blessed Redeemer. Truly it is a place of quiet rest, a place where sin cannot molest. It is a place of comfort sweet where we, our Savior, may meet. And it is a place of full release from sorrow, from grief, from toil. A place where all is joy and peace. We thank thee that even in this life, we may approach to thy throne of grace, through the golden altar, that we may give thanks with joy that for who thou art unto us, and all thy blessings which thou continuously pours out upon us, both physical and spiritual. We pray now, O Lord, as we present our tithe and offering, that thou would use them for the extension of thy kingdom, that through these funds that are gathered together, thy saints may be strengthened with spiritual literature to read and to grow, to taste and to know of thy love and thy care towards them, that we may be strengthened with all might by thy glorious power. We pray now that thou wouldest bless Pastor as he brings forth thy word. Give him clarity of thought that he may expound and exposit thy word, that all of us, by thy Holy Spirit, may understand and apply it to our daily lives. Bless all of us for thy own honor and glory. This we ask and pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen. Congregation, please be seated. The hymn before the pastoral prayer and the message, the golden altar, is number 362. 362, Did You Think to Pray?
I left your room this morning. Did you think to pray? In the name of Christ our Savior, did you ask for loving favor as a shield today? Lord, as a prayer will change the night today. So when life seems dark and dreary, don't forget to pray. When you met with great temptation, did you think to pray? By his dying love and merit, did you claim the Holy Spirit as your guide and stay? Oh, blessed night today. So when life seems dark and dreary, don't forget to pray. When your heart was filled with anger, did you think to pray? Did you plead for grace, my brother, that you you might forgive another who has crossed your way. Oh, blessed Mary, prayer will change your night today. So when life seems dark and dreary, don't forget to pray. When sore trials came upon you, did you think to pray? When your soul was bowed in sorrow, Balm of Gilead did you borrow at the gates of day? Oh, blessed Mary, prayer will change the night today. So seems dark and dreary, don't forget to pray.
Amen. Let us now invite Pastor to lead us in the pastoral prayer and to present to us the message, the Golden Altar.
Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that our church may be gathered together on the quiet of this, in the quiet of this sanctuary, to worship Thee. Lord, we praise and thank Thee that Thou hast appointed a way by which we can draw nigh to Thee through the blood of the Lamb, our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. And we come before Thee by the merits of what Jesus Christ had done for us on the cross, how His body was broken and His blood was shed for the remission of our sins. And it is with faith and great confidence and boldness that we come before Thee at Thy throne of grace to seek help and mercy in times of need. Father in heaven, we come before Thee asking that Thou would be gracious to strengthen Thy people, especially those who are in beds of affliction. For Thou hast taught us that the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. O God, we bring before Thee Albert, Christina's uncle, who has undergone major heart surgery. And we ask that Thou would be gracious to grant to him Thy peace and comfort as he recovers from this major surgery. And that Thou would be gracious to strengthen the family to come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, to come to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Father in heaven, we also pray for Christina, very bad inflammation of the ear and very painful joints. Father, may thou be merciful to heal her. And we bring before thee also Sister Lena in her post-surgery recovery. May thou be gracious to ease the pain and the swelling on the right foot and the healing of the wound as she changes the dressing daily, applying the antibiotic treatment to treat the infection till the 4th of March. May thou be gracious to strengthen her and keep her for thy own name's sake. Father in heaven, we also pray for Karen Yap, that thou be gracious to grant to her remission for her treatment, for her condition. And also, we bring before thee her eye condition, that thou would be gracious to save her, strengthen her for thy own name's sake. And we pray for Christine, who has had a fall yesterday, that thou would be gracious to heal the wound, grant to her thy joy and peace in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we continue to pray and commit to thee, Sister Lily, Maji's mother. Thank thee for the provision of a helper. Lord, may thou use the helper to take care of Sister Lily at this time of need. Father in heaven, we also pray and commit to thee, Sister Mary, that thou grant to her good management of her high blood condition and help her in her kidney dialysis treatment. Father in heaven, we pray for this land of Singapore. May thou be gracious to grant that the authorities that thou hast placed over us to rule this land with justice and equity, that the authorities in Singapore would govern with just and equitable measures, that the gospel work may continue. We pray for thy mercy to protect Singapore from terrorism, from haste, from pestilences, the soon coming of the day when, as in heaven, so in earth, the whole earth will be filled with the glory of God. Father in heaven, we pray for members and friends to be faithful in service, to be examples in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity, that the word of God may dwell richly in our hearts, in all wisdom, and that thy people may grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We pray for thy people, that our prayer life may be a devoted one. We may have a consecrated prayer life by thy grace. Father in heaven, we also pray that the communication of thy people to be good, to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to one another. Father, we pray for thy provision, for a venue for our sunrise service on the 9th of April. May thou be gracious to guide us, to make smooth pathway that thy church may be gathered to on this Resurrection Sunday to worship thee for thy own honor and glory. Father, we now ask that thou would bless the preaching of thy holy word. May thy spirit come and illumine us, guide us, grant us understanding, that we may know and understand the doctrine, the concept, the idea that thou hast brought forth to us in the pattern, the placement, the purpose of the golden altar that is in the tabernacle. Strengthen thy people and grant us understanding. This I ask and pray with thanksgiving through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Ark of the Covenant is the most sacred of furniture in the tabernacle. Can we see the slide? you see there a picture of the holy place. There is the placement of the incense altar. And beyond this incense altar is the throne room of God. Beyond this incense altar is the Holy of Holies. It's where the throne of God is, the Ark of the Covenant. Can we see the next slide, please? You see there the picture that is placed before us, the Ark of the Covenant in the most holy place, followed by a curtain or a veil that separates the most holy place from the holy place. And the altar of incense is strategically placed right in front of the altar, and that is the place whereby the priest would come nearest to the presence of God. Right? The priest would only enter the Holy of Holies once a year to make sacrifice for the people of God. And the other times, the nearest, the furthest place they would move, well, it's there at the altar of incense. The priest is to take a censer full of burning coals on his hand from the brazen altar. The brazen altar is the altar of sacrifice right outside the courtyard, the outer courtyard, and there he would bring into the holy place where sacrifices were made. Specially prepared sweet incense were ignited by the sparkling, by sprinkling it over the burning coals. In Leviticus chapter 16, it is told to us in verses 12 to 13, "And he shall take a censer full of burning coals of fire from off the altar before the Lord, and his hands full of sweet incense, bitten small, and bring it before the veil." Do we have another picture that to show? This is the priest, which we have studied over the last several weeks, concerning how he is properly prepared and adorned, dressed to represent the people of God, to come before the presence of God. And there you see he's holding there the hot coals that they would bring to light the incense at the incense altar. "And he shall put the incense upon the fire before the Lord, that the cloud of the incense may cover the mercy seat that is upon the testimony that he die not." Well, here you see, as the incense is being lighted up, there is the cloud of smoke that will cover the holy place, and it will go into the most holy place. This thick cloud of smoke would curl upward, filling the tabernacle. Do we have a picture of that? Further down. You see the cloud there. Another picture further. Here you see another picture of the cloud. The priest would envelop by the sweet incense of the cloud, enjoys the blessing of that sweet communion with God. The thick cloud of smoke curling upward, filling the tabernacle, is symbolic of Israel's prayers to God. And the priest, who is enveloped by the sweet incense of the cloudy incense, enjoys the blessing of sweet communion with God.
So the altar of incense illustrates for us the utmost importance God places in our communion with Him. And this is to be done as a perpetual incense, verse 8 tells us of Exodus chapter 30, before the Lord throughout your generations. The prayer of the saints coming before God. And how important it is that the people of God would come to Him to pray. And when we pray, God answers our prayer. God draws nigh to help His people. And so the Apostle Paul would say in 2 Corinthians 2, verse 14 to 15, "Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savour of His knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savour of Christ." We are unto God a sweet savour of Christ. For Christ causes us to triumph. And when we are enjoying the victory that God gives to us, when we would draw nigh to Him, seeking Him for guidance, for direction, and He showing us, and we would do His good will, there we would be sending off a victory praise to God. Isn't it so true? When we are in need of guidance, we don't know what to do, we come to God and we seek Him in prayer. And when we come to Him to pray, well, it is there that He meets with us. And when God hears our prayer, indeed He is pleased to hear our cry and to meet our need. And so you see there the victory that is described by the Apostle Paul. And it's interesting, we ask this question today: how incense is made? Well, it is made by cutting and breaking herbs and then crushing them into fine powder. And then the water is added to this powder to create a clay to form the sticks and the cones. What is the purpose of the incense? Well, this incense that is burned is to create a fragrant aroma. A fragrant aroma. And here is described for us, and what we have memorized in Revelation 8 verse 3, that this this altar of incense bring forth with it an aroma to God, as we memorized in our memory verse in Revelation 8 verse 3. It says here, concerning the angel in heaven that stood at the altar, having this golden censer, that was given to him much incense, and he would offer it with the prayer of his saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. So this is a picture for us. We go back to the first picture in which we see the altar of incense there, for us to have an idea. This is the place whereby we that is before the throne of God, that we come to Him. And it is there that we come and praise God. And in the believer's life, what are those times when we come to praise God? Well, especially needful, isn't it, when we are in the middle of our trials? When we are in a trial, do we sing songs of praise to God in worship, in prayer, in the midst of persecution? Do we come to God to find in Him help, victory when problems arise? Well, when we pray to God, we are admitting, as it were, a sweet aroma that God receives. And this was the purpose, or this is the purpose in which God gave the instruction for the people to bring the incense, right? The prayers of the saints in the book of Revelation describes a great time of persecution upon earth. And it is during those times where the church continue to look to God, continue to seek God through prayer, that they would find the victory. Two thoughts for our meditation: the pattern of the altar, verse 1 to 5, and the purpose of the altar, verse 6 to 10 and 34 to 38. Verse 1 of our text says, "And thou shalt make an altar to burn incense upon of shittim wood, shalt thou make it. A cubit shall be the length thereof, and a cubit the breadth thereof. 4 square shall it be, and 2 cubits shall be the height, and horns shall be thereof, shall be of the same." And so you see the dimensions that are given for the altar. Can we see the altar? Next one. You see there the incense altar that is being made, overlaid with gold. And verse 3 says, "The top thereof, the sides thereof, and the horns thereof, and thou shalt make a crown of gold round about, and 2 golden rings shalt thou make to it under the crown of it, by the 2 corners thereof, and upon the 2 sides thereof." So you see the 2 rings there that are made at the sides. Those are to facilitate mobility, carriage, when the tabernacle will be reeled, taken down and reeled up. Verse 4 says, "2 golden rings shalt thou make to it under the crown of it, by the 2 corners thereof, and the 2 sides shalt thou make it, and they shall be for places for the staves to bear with it wither, and thou shalt make the staves of shittim wood and overlay them with gold." At Mount Sinai, Moses received the instructions about the altars and the sacrifices that are connected with the tabernacle. Compared with the brazen altar, or the altar of burnt offering, which is 7.5 feet by 4.5 feet by 1.5 feet, that is made of bronze, designed for animal sacrifice, for the atonement of sin, with horns on each corner, the altar of incense, by comparison, is small, 18-inch square by a 1-meter height, with 4 horns and gold mounting. It has a gold rim that encircled the top with the gold rings at each of the corner, and acacia wood staves covered with gold were put through to transport it. You see there? That's the design of it for us to understand. And the altar of incense is also called the golden altar in Exodus 39, verse 38. And the golden altar, which is the altar that we speaks about, the anointing oil and the sweet incense, and the hanging for the tabernacle door, the brazen altar, and his grate of brass, and his staves, and all the vessels of the level and the foot. Here you see the tabernacle was completed, and it is described how each furniture is placed on it, in its place. And thou shalt set the altar of gold for incense before the ark of the testimony and before the hanging of the door to the tabernacle. Exodus chapter 40 and verse 5. And the blood of the guilt offering was placed on the altar of this, on the horns of this altar, to sanctify it. Leviticus 4 verse 7. And verse 6 of our text tells us, thou shalt put it before the veil, that is by the ark of the testimony, before the mercy seat, that is over the testimony, where I will meet with thee. There is a great significance. If you turn to the other slide. Okay. Further. There is a great significance in the placement of the altar that is before the veil. Right? You see it is placed before the veil. The veil is right in front, and inside is the throne room, the Ark of the Covenant. In the center of the holy place, which is separated from the Holy of Holies, where God manifested his presence. And so the closest the priest could come to God in daily worship was when they ministered at the altar of incense. Right? Beyond the altar of incense is the curtain, and beyond it is the Ark of the Covenant. Do we have a picture of that? Maybe further down, you see. Down again. Or is it up? I think it's further up. Further up. Further up. Ah, here. Further up, one more. Oh, no more. Okay. Right. Yes. Here you see the placement of the altar of incense. It's just in front of the veil, right, before the Ark of the Covenant. I wanted to show you the picture of the Ark of the Covenant. And this is the same principle that holds for the believer. The closest we come to God is through prayer. And let us realize this great privilege that we have in Christ. Christians approach God with no veil separating us, giving us direct access to the throne of God through the veil of his flesh and by way of his shed blood that was in the tabernacle. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 19 to 20. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 to 20. To help us to see an application of it in what is today, the way by which we approach God through Christ. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 to 20 says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. So for the believer, right, we come directly to God through the Lord Jesus Christ, right, who by his sacrifice for us enable us to go all the way to the throne room of God. And this veil that was in the tabernacle here. Ah, yeah, this is the picture. Okay, this is the picture. You see that? This is the Ark of the Covenant. Okay? The Ark of the Covenant is just placed, in front of this is the veil, right? In front of the veil is the golden altar, right? The golden altar. And so, when Christ died on the cross, right, Matthew 27, verse 50 to 53, described for us how the veil that was in the temple was rent into two when Christ died. Matthew 27, 50 to 53 says, Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. It was a time when Christ died, and his sacrifice, right, enables us to go to go all the way through the veil to the very throne of God. So through the sacrifice of Christ, right, through the veil that is his flesh, Hebrews 10 verse 20 tells us. So this veil that we see reminds us that there is a gulf between God and men that was dissolved at the cross by Jesus Christ. And so you see here the construction of the altar. And then from verse 7 to 10, you see the purpose. 7 to 10, 34 to 38. Verse 7 says, and Aaron shall burn thereon sweet incense every morning. When he dresses the lamps, he shall burn incense upon it. And when Aaron lighteth the lamps at even, he shall burn incense upon it, a perpetual incense before the Lord throughout your generations. You notice that Aaron is to offer the incense on the altar at regular or set times. Verse 7 and 8 tells us he's to light the lamps at even for a perpetual incense, and he is to light, burn the sweet incense every morning. So the priest is to offer the morning and evening sacrifices on the brazen altar, and they would enter the holy place to trim the golden lampstand and to burn the incense on the altar. Right, do we have a picture of the holy place? Ah, yeah, that's... So after he would make the sacrifice at the brazen altar, he would enter into the holy place, and he would trim the candlestick, and he would light the altar of incense, right? And he would do that morning and evening, And you notice that the golden altar would stand before the throne of God as an everlasting testimony to the prayers of believers as they ascended into his presence. So this burning of the incense is a description to help us to see our prayers to God, that communion that we have. So that smoke signifies that perpetual communion, picturing the believers offering prayers continually to God. This incense represents representative of our prayer was to be burned perpetually in the morning and in the evening. So in the morning, you would put the incense there and it would burn, and it would allow it to continue burning through the day. And by the evening time, they would, as it were, refresh it so that it would be able to burn throughout the night to the next day. So the incense, the burning of it, morning and in the evening, signifies that continual prayer before God. Paul says to the Christians in Thessalonica that we are to pray without ceasing, that constant communion with God, and we must maintain our own altar of incense, as it were, before the Lord. Continual attitude of prayer throughout the day that is exemplified by the Lord and the Spirit of God that teaches us. Right? Hebrews 7 verse 25 says, "Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever maketh intercession for them." Our Lord Jesus Christ, when he's ascended to heaven, right now is praying for his people upon the throne at the right hand of the Father. He maketh ever intercession for them. And the Spirit of God also, in Hebrews, Romans chapter 8, maketh intercession for us. Right? So, it's described for us in Romans chapter 8, verse 26. "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." So as we pray to God, many times when we are in distress, when we are at crossroads, we don't know what to do. And as we come to God to pray, there is the Son of God that is in heaven praying on our behalf. He is our advocate to bring our petitions to God. Right. And then there is the Holy Spirit that helpeth our infirmities, shows us the way. He maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So the guidance of God, manifested by the Spirit of God and by the intercession of his Son, is symbolic of that communion that we have in God. The altar of incense especially symbolizes the prayer and worship of Israel that is going to God. A sweet savor, an aroma going up to God. And God's acceptance of that worship in manifesting himself in the cloud of incense inside the tent of meeting. And this little cloud that comes with the burning of the incense is a manifestation of God's presence with his people. So as we bring our prayers to God, well, God hears our prayer. How does God hear our prayer? Well, the Father in heaven receives our prayer through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that is at the right hand of the Father. And the Spirit of God that indwells us when we come to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ helps us, teaches us how we ought to pray and show us according to the will of God. So it seems that the biblical pattern for prayer should be morning and evening. We should offer morning prayers of praise and petition to God and inviting him to give us direction as we begin the day. So there are two set times that you see in the Bible whereby the people of God would come to God in prayer. And the Bible is full of examples of saints who would rise up early in the morning for prayer. We have the example of Hannah and the husband who were Samuel's parents. 1 Samuel 1 verse 19 says, they rose up in the morning early and worshipped the Lord and returned and came unto their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. You remember she was without child? And she went to the house of God to pray. And the high priest was saying to her, what are you doing? You were agonizing. She was agonizing in prayer before God. And the priest said to him, the Lord has heard your prayer. And so after they have prayed, well, God remembered her prayer. God remembered Hannah's prayer. And God gave to her Samuel. And then there is the king Hezekiah, who is described in 2 Chronicles 29 verse 20, where he would rise up early to pray. And he would gather the rulers of the city and they would go up to the house of God to pray. And then there is also the example of Job, where it's described to us that he would rise up early and he would offer burnt offerings according to the number of his children to pray for his children. I remember my great maternal grandmother who said after he come to know God, and she was baptized, our pastoral advisor, Dr. Toh came to our house, baptized her, and after that, she said that, you know, in the morning, I would rise up and then I would pray for my family. I would pray for my children. I would pray for my grandchildren. And then I would have my coffee. That was her morning routine after she came to know God. The morning prayer. And then there is the evening prayer, where we would reflect on the day to thank and praise God for answered prayer and the direction He gave to us. So the morning prayer, we can have requests before God. And then there is the evening prayer. I remember in the workplace, we used to gather with another brother in Christ on the Monday morning before we start a new work week. So we will read a passage of devotion, Spurgeon's devotion, and then we would list down the prayer items that we have for the week. In the work that we do in the semiconductor industry, we face our challenges, and oftentimes those are very teething challenges whereby we realize that by our own strength, we cannot handle. We need help. We need help. And that's where we put down our prayer list. And our testimony is that God never fails to answer our prayer, you know. God never fails to show us the way by which we are to do our work. And so there is that prayer in the morning, there is that prayer in the evening, whereby we would thank God and praise Him for seeing us through the day, for answering our prayers, for direction that He has given us. The psalmist David find great solace and strength when he meditated upon God, or when he would meditate in prayer in the quiet of the night. Psalm 63, verse 5 and 6, he says, "My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate upon thee in the night watches." And so the tabernacle set up was to describe to us how we are to approach a holy God. And the priests would be instructed to make sure that there is the perpetual incense upon the altar, morning and evening. There are times when our Lord would spend the whole night in prayer. Luke chapter 6, verse 12. "And it came to pass in those days, as he went out into the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God, after the temple was destroyed, Daniel continued to pray three times a day in Babylon. At set times, he would face Jerusalem and he would pray." Daniel 6 verse 10 says, "Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed," the writing to say that anyone who would pray to any other god, they would be thrown into the lion's den, "he went into his house, and his windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled before his knees three times a day and prayed, and give thanks before God, before his God, as he did aforetime." The prayer posture of the saints, a perpetual coming to God, as it were, unbroken. Daniel was has an important work in the Babylonian and in the Persian kingdom. Many matters to attend to. But he understood that wisdom comes from God. And he knew that his strength needed to do his work comes from God. And so he would keep up that perpetual communion. In the New Testament, we also see the disciples keeping the morning and evening hours of prayer in the temple and in their homes, indicating that God desires believers to set aside specific times for prayer throughout the day. Do you set aside time to pray in the morning when you wake up? Do you set aside time to be with God, to pray in the evening? Do you set aside time to be with God, to pray? Well, this was the habit of the people of God. The apostles, Acts 3 verse 1, "Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour." Ninth hour is 3 p.m. It's where we start our service. Acts 10 verse 9, "On the morrow they went on their journey and drew nigh to the city, and Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour, 12 p.m. Acts 10 verse 30, "And Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and before a man stood before me in bright clothing." Well, when we pray, we pray. God comes and meet with us. Verse 9 of Exodus chapter 30, "And ye shall offer no strange incense thereon, nor burnt sacrifice, nor meat offering, neither shall ye pour drink offering thereon." The solemn warnings were given concerning the type of incense, that no strange incense is to be offered. You remember the two sons of Aaron, called Nadab and Abihu, who offered strange fire or strange incense. Well, they were struck by a fire from God and they died immediately. They were drunken Numbers text tells us, well, we approach God, we approach Him solemnly. And verse 37 to 38 gives to us the making of the incense. Anyone who make incense for personal use, it is told here, would be cut off from his people. A figure of prayer that is offered contrary to God's will. When we pray, we are to pray according to God's will. We do not pray, in a carnal manner, to satisfy our fleshly lust. And you recall the wise men from the east who offered the frankincense to the baby Jesus as a tribute and worship to the king of the Jews. The frankincense that was applied, well, by way of application, we said our prayer life is to be conformed to the pattern that is set forth by God in His Word. Not vain repetition, but after the Lord's Prayer, Matthew chapter 6, which I pray, there is a pattern by which we come before God, and well, we have spent some time studying the Lord's Prayer during one of our sessions, and you can find that in our recorded messages. And verse 10 of our text says, "And Aaron shall make an atonement upon the altars once a year with the blood of the sin offering. Once in a year he shall make atonement upon it throughout your generations. It is most holy." So you notice that the horns of the altar were not just for decoration, but serve a specific purpose in relation to the blood sacrifice. So on the first day of atonement, the 10th day of the 7th month, the high priest would take some of the blood that was sprinkled, used to sprinkle the mercy seat, to put it on the horns of the altar, to make an atonement upon the horns of the altar. Well, the purpose of this act was to cleanse it and to hallow it from the uncleanness of the children of Israel. Leviticus 16, verses 18 to 19. "And he shall go out upon the altar that is before the Lord and make an atonement for it, and shall take the blood of the bullock and of the blood of the goat and put it upon the horns of the altar round about, and he shall sprinkle the blood upon it with his finger 7 times and cleanse and hallow it from the uncleanness of the children of Israel." The golden altar represents the place of intercession before the Lord. When the blood from the sin offering was sprinkled upon the horns of the altar, it symbolized a prayer for the pardon of sin before God. The blood applied to the altar gave the incense of prayer its value. So it is with Christ's blood which gives us value to our prayers before God. It is with Christ's blood that opens the way for us to come before the throne of grace, to find mercy and grace in times of need. The priest interceded before the Lord on behalf of the people. It gives us the beautiful picture of the Lord's intercession on behalf of the believers. And so there is a multifaceted understanding that the Lord wants us to see in that. The hymn, "Sweet Hour of Prayer," was written by William Walford, which we are going to sing. A blind, obscure lay preacher who owned a novelty shop, whose life had seen many seasons of distress and grief. In the night of his physical darkness, God gave a son that has brought comfort to his heart. The hymn reminds us of how sweet and precious is our hour of communion with God in prayer. No matter how dark and difficult our days, our Heavenly Father bids us to cast on Him our every care and know the blessings and fruits of the sweet hour of prayer. God inspired the composer to anticipate for everyone the day when faith will give way to light. This great hymn also calls us to spend more than a few hurried minutes in prayer, so that we may know the rich blessing that comes in spending time in the presence of God. It is the best investment that we will ever make for our soul and our life. The prayer of saints, as depicted by their life of devotion to the Lord, is like the smoke of the incense that is perfumed to the Lord. And the spices were weighed out equally, verse 34, mixed with one substance by the perfumer in verse 35, and bitten to admit their fragrance, verse 36. The altar of incense, the pattern and the placement, verse 1 to 6, and the purpose, verse 7 to 10, 34 to 38. For a perpetual incense before the Lord, verse 6 to 10, and for a perfume incense to the Lord, verse 34 to 38. A beautiful picture of the communion and devotion of believers with their God. May we appropriate it in our devotional life too. May the Lord help us. Let us pray. Father, we thank thee for thy word, and we pray for thy people that indeed our life would be a sweet communion and devotion toward thee. And we pray that it will be that continual communion until we see thee face to face. This we pray with thanksgiving through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The closing hymn is the 371, Sweet Hour of Prayer. Let's arise to sing 371, Sweet Hour of Prayer.
Sweet hour of prayer that calls me from the world of cares and bids me at my Father's throne, and may all my wants and wishes known in season of distress and grief. My soul has often found relief and oft escaped the tempter's snare by thy return, sweet hour of prayer. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, thy wings shall my petition bear to him whose truth and faithfulness engage the waiting soul to bless. And since he bids me seek his face, believe his word and trust his grace, I'll cast on him my every care and wait for thee, sweet hour of prayer. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, may lofty height I view my home and take my flight. This robe of flesh I'll drop and rise to seize the everlasting prize and shout while passing through the air, farewell, farewell, sweet hour of prayer.
The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Please be seated. We have our Wednesday Bible study and at 11 a.m. and prayer meeting at 8 p.m. Those seeking baptism, transfer membership, reaffirmation of faith, please come forward. We'll help you. Do read the pastoral review of last week's 9th anniversary Thanksgiving service. That's all the announcements that we have. The Lord bless you and keep you.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord lift His countenance upon you and give you peace. And give you peace. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Be gracious. The Lord be gracious. Gracious.
The service is now over.